during the class today.
That's Casper.
Sky. To
Explanation points. I agree with the policy. Genuine.
I'd like to call to order our meeting today. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. The meeting of the September 26, 2019 Arizona State Board of Private Post-Secondary Education Complaint Committee is called to order at 1 p.m. The Complaint Committee, upon a majority of vote of quorum of the members, may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 8431-03A3 on any matter on the agenda. The Complaint Committee, upon a majority vote of quorum of the members, may also go into executive session to discuss and consider records exempt by law for public inspection, including the receipt and discussions of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law pursuant to ARS 38431-03A2. All right. Since this meeting is being recorded, I would like to ask the Complaint Committee members and staff to introduce themselves for the record.
Rachel Kears.
Neville Mountain State Board staff.
Keith Blanchard, board staff.
Glenn Tharp, board member.
Mike Romano, board member.
Trish Leonard, board member.
Terry Stanfield, executive director.
Assistant Attorney General Frankie Schneckberg, attorney for the board.
Assistant Attorney General John Schleer.
Great. As a reminder to the board members, if you would, when making a motion, just make sure to state your name and then the motion, and as well as we'll do the same in voting as well. In regards to item number two on the agenda, in the Complaint Committee meeting minutes, Ms. Stanfield, have you confirmed that the meeting minutes are posted and are audible?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Awesome. Glenn Tharp, make motion to accept minutes.
So much.
First line, second.
Discussion? All right. Let's move to the vote then.
Glenn Tharp, aye.
Mike Romano, aye.
Trish Leonard, aye.
All right. I will call in that motion. It carries, and we can move on. All right. It's first official business on the agenda is the determination to open a complaint in regards to Grand Canyon University. Mr. Blanchard, do you an update for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee, board staff received a copy of the Arizona Republic article dated July 18th, 2019. The article is attached for your review in reference to what was published. This is in reference to two students, one from Georgia, one from Ohio. The institution did submit a response to the complaint, but to the article. In keeping with prior practices, staff is requesting the Complaint Committee to review the information, determine if the complaint should be opened. I'm here to discuss the matter with you. The committee is Brian Roberts, General Counsel, and Scott Campbell, Executive Director of State Compliance and Accreditation.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon, thank you.
If you would just take a moment to introduce yourselves, and then if you'd like to provide any type of opening statement, by all means.
Thanks. Brian Roberts, I am the General Counsel for Grand Canyon University.
Scott Campbell, Executive Director of State Compliance and Accreditation for Grand Canyon University.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a chance to review this, so don't feel like you have to go all the way through all of that, but by all means.
Okay, thank you. I won't go into too much detail on the substance of the matter, but there are a couple things that we just wanted to note for the committee. So the first thing is, this is a, just in terms of the substance of the complaint, this is a frivolous complaint that was filed in Georgia by a plaintiff's class action lawyer. They're based in Atlanta. The case lacks any merit, and we believe it should be dismissed. We don't know how long that will take. The legal process can sometimes take months to happen, but we expect that it will be dismissed in short order from the court. It was filed in Fulton County, Georgia, on behalf of two students, one who lives in Georgia and the other one who lives in West Virginia. The one who lives in West Virginia was seeking licensure in Ohio, though. To the complaint is just absolutely riddled with errors. It also has several procedural deficiencies. And as we mentioned, the substance of the claim lacks merit. Our written response that we provided to this committee on September 18th outlines the errors in the complaint and the reasons why we believe it lacks any merit. We're happy to answer any questions about the substance of the matter. We will update the committee when the case is ultimately dismissed. And one thing we wanted to note was that these same plaintiffs' class action lawyers filed a couple other complaints in Georgia, and one of them was just dismissed last month. It's similar to this case. We think it will be dismissed as well.
Yes, was that other complaint against GCU as well?
So the second part of this, I think we just want to note for this committee the concerns we have with the Arizona Republic. They've blown this completely out of proportion, and it's based on kind of a false narrative that they continue to perpetuate against the university. It's extremely frustrating, and we just kind of, I kind of want to walk you through just real quick kind of how this came to be. And part of our frustration with this entire process. The absolute lack of any sort of diligence by the reporter in this case is astonishing. And I think as we walk through the timeline, I'll just kind of explain to you how this came to be an article at all. The lawsuit was filed in Fulton County, Georgia, which is state court, at 12:46 p.m. Arizona time. On a Thursday afternoon in July. Even though it had been filed, it had not been served, and we had no knowledge of it. We didn't actually get a copy of the complaint until the next day after the Republic article had already been published.
Mr. Roberts, you're more than welcome to continue, but I know this information was included.
It was all included in there
as well. So we're very appreciative of you walking us through that, but we also have had a chance to review it ourselves. So
okay.
If that saves you any time, respectfully.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. I think we just wanted to walk through it briefly, kind of, and put you in our shoes, hopefully to help kind of give this committee an understanding of our frustration. It's an ongoing battle that we are constantly fighting with the Arizona Republic. And so, you know, we kind of appreciate the opportunity to have a forum to kind of express just, you know, how bad it is. Because this is just repeated behavior by the Republic to continue to perpetuate this false narrative. I think absent this, you know, completely disingenuous article, we wouldn't even be sitting here today. So, you know, we're happy to work through the legal process. The case will be dismissed, and we'll address it in the legal system, but it's frustrating for us to have to sit and constantly defend ourselves in the public eye with the Republic, who has an agenda where they're opposed to the university. The main point that I think I want to just make here, and I know we talked about it, so I won't drag you through that. They presented this case to us Thursday afternoon, and It was published by 6 p.m. that night. They gave us absolutely, there's a 54-page complaint. We had never seen it before. The only copy that we were given to respond to was the copy that was presented to the Republic by the class action lawyers. So we couldn't even validate that this was actually the same complaint as what had actually been filed. And yet, in spite of any of that, the Republic decided to present its article at 6 o'clock that night, and it was the headline article on Friday night and Saturday morning. So, you know, the headline of the thing, which I don't even want to repeat, is extremely egregious. It's very disparaging towards the university, and we have to constantly now explain to people that it's not true. So, you know, we're sort of battling the case on the merits in the legal system, and we know that it's false, and we know that it's going to be dismissed. I think the bigger problem that we have is trying to address this in the minds of the public when the Republic perpetuates this false narrative by working in cooperation with a plaintiff's class action lawyer in Georgia, of all places. So, again, I won't walk you through the details. I appreciate that you've got that. Thank you for letting me at least kind of get that off of my chest. But we're happy to answer any questions about the substance of the matter or any other questions that you might have.
And to note as well, it has a ripple effect as well, because ultimately then it comes to the state's board's attention, which requires their activity. Then it comes to the board, which requires a great amount of hours as well of our investment in the review of that, all for what would appear as though we read it, and certainly I'd like to hear from my other board members, is something that seemed to lack any legitimate substance to it and thought and timeliness associated with it. So to carry that message forward, we respect that and appreciate your perspective of it and would also offer that. I do have a couple questions, probably more so for our staff than for you, which is just to appreciate when things are published in a newspaper or media setting, what the state board's, from the staff standpoint, responsibility is to investigate that and review that.
We didn't investigate this matter. We just sent it to you regarding the allegations that were listed in the article alone, not the lawsuit, where it was filed. If it's that weight is, if the allegations were true, would be required to investigate it, that would kind of your determination based on this, because we never received a formal complaint.
They're non-Arizona students?
Well, the school's here. So if they're online students, it would still be the state board responsibility. We have never received any complaints. The article, we reviewed it, staff reviewed it. There was no investigation done by the reporter. They just rehashed a lawsuit that was filed someplace else. So speaking of Stanfield, Mr. Lamont, we just thought, you know what, we'll just have you look at it, and you guys make a determination if you believe that something should be investigated or not. And then if it's not, we close it as an inquiry, and we're done.
Maybe I'm just thinking of the amount of publications that are out there and stories that are out there, and trying to appreciate why this one seemed to be elevated versus others that may hit that piece. But that's maybe something we...
I don't know.
Okay.
And I do have to say, since this is a do we want to open a complaint, so this is, when I got it, my assumption was you wanted to make sure that we saw the article, the school had a chance to answer it. We got it, let's see, do we have more questions? So we open the complaint and ask for investigation, or we read and we say, we're done. So from my perspective, all that stuff that you wrote, here's what boiled down for me. Interstate moves,
right?
The section that explains it. And then the Georgia authorization explains it. If those two things had been in the first paragraph, I probably wouldn't have had to read the rest. Just saying. I know that you know, you're a lawyer, you probably get paid by the letter, never mind the word. I'm just saying.
I get paid the same. Thankfully, I left the hourly stuff behind a long time ago.
So. I just always wanted to ask a lawyer that, because it always feels like there's
yes, thank you.
I
And we can't really get into the idea of, you know, we don't license the Arizona Republic, so, you know, we can't get into what it is, actions they took and all that kind of stuff. I appreciate why you want to go on the record of saying it. But from my perspective, being a compliance person, I looked at it and said, they're saying your admissions people misled people. I look at the materials that were given to students and signed by the students, and it clearly is contrary to that. And we had it before that a student actually said, you expect me to read all that? And our answer was, well, yeah. So that's kind of how I felt about this, is that as soon as I saw those two things, I felt like, well, I still read the rest because you put all that trouble into it. But I but I was done after I saw those two things.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with my colleague. I read this in depth looking for any holes in it. I couldn't find any. I mean, it's clear that your enrollment agreements, which the students all signed, covered exactly what they were talking about. So I just kept coming back to, there is some responsibility that falls on the shoulders of the students to understand and fully feel like we can get that. So, but with the Georgia clause and the interstate move, I read the entire packet. I don't see anything here.
Do we require a motion at this point?
Okay. I would, Glenn Tharp, I would like to make a motion that we do not open a complaint against Grand Canyon University.
Second.
Trish Leonard, second.
Discussion? We just did.
Clint Tharp, aye.
Mike Romano, aye.
Trish Leonard, aye.
Thank you very much for your time
and
preparation.
Thank you all for your time. Thanks.
All right. Moving on to item number four on our agenda, in regards to a non-student complaint for recording radio film connection. Mr. Blanchard, do you have an update for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee. Complaint number 19, NS-001, was first reviewed at the September 27, 2018 meeting in reference to some of the wording in the national publication, national website. During discussion, they asked for some information to be changed, remove the word apprentice. And during that conversation, they asked for some updated information regarding Arizona-specific website for Arizona consumers. The institution came back and discussed that with you on December 6, 2018. They requested some additional clarification regarding what happens when an Arizona consumer goes to their website. I've listed on page two of the report, if you Google search and you get to the www.rrfedu.com, it gives you four options. I've highlighted those in the report, and that takes you to the Arizona Recording Connection or the Arizona Film Connection, which has the information that you requested was updated. The new catalog that was approved by the State Board at the last meeting, along with the corrections that you are now, it's now on the website, and all the other previous catalogs have been removed, so students won't be getting older information. So here to answer any of your questions regarding the follow-up information that was submitted is Joyce Mullen, Chief Compliance Officer, Marie Capps-Berry, Director of Regulatory Affairs, and Michael, is it Dinnerstein, Lead Developer Designer.
I believe we're over the phone, so if you would just kindly introduce yourself over the phone.
This is Marie Capps-Berry, Director of Regulatory Affairs for Recording Radio Film Connection. Joyce is not here. She ended up having to have a medical procedure today. But I am joined by Michael Dinnerstein, our website lead developer and designer.
Great. Would you like to make any opening comments?
I would. Thank you for the opportunity to come before the committee and staff members with our update. On behalf of Recording Radio Film Connection, we want to assure the committee we have taken the complaint seriously and have put in place policies and procedures as well as compliance review processes to ensure the accuracy and appropriateness of our marketing and advertising. It is our hope that we have sufficiently addressed your concerns, and we welcome any questions that you might have.
Thank you for that. I myself have had a chance to kind of look through the material and recognizing they've taken action and realizing that we have had a lot of back and forth over the last several meetings. It does seem as though they have continued to be responsive to our requests and have made the adjustments. I've not seen anything that I have found to be in that contradicts that piece of it, but I look to my other board members to see if you have any additional questions or actions you would like to take.
At the licensing meeting, I believe that all of our questions, well, my questions were answered then. I just have one little FYI for you. I also love to copy and paste, and so I believe that in your tab for Tempe, you copied and pasted your Tucson one, and so in the second paragraph, you tell them that they're going to get their training in Tucson, so you might want to just fix that one. But that's all I had to complain about.
Thank you. I will.
No charge for that.
Yeah, that's free.
It's most appreciated.
I went through everything. I'm coming in sort of with a fresh set of eyes, just coming back on the complaint committee. But I was at the last board meeting, and I was pretty satisfied with what I heard there. And I did do an exhaustive search on the web. Seems like everything besides the typo is in order. I will say I am glad to see that Marie is there. I worked with Marie for a long time in the past, and I know they'll continue to do good things. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Clint.
Do I have any motion?
I love to make motions. Okay. Glenn Tharp, make a motion that we dismiss the complaint, or is this to open?
Nope.
Actual complaint. Dismiss complaint 19-NS001 against the Recording, Radio, and Film Connections, RRFC.
Trish Leonard, second.
Any discussion? I might just add just briefly that the board does have some actions that they could take, one being a letter of concern, but I think we recognize that this entity has responded appropriately, taken action, and partnered with us. We appreciate that partnership, so I just wanted to add that on the record as well. If we're ready to vote.
Glenn Tharp, aye.
Mike Romano, aye.
Trish Leonard, aye.
Very good. Motion passes. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right.
Moving on, we have a complaint of operating without a license prior to license approval for AZ Permanent Makeup Academy. Mr. Blanchard?
Members of the Complaint Committee, Mr. Chair, Complaint 20-NS001, the history is this institution is not currently licensed. They were in the application process when a complaint was submitted by three students that took the program prior to the application. I've given you the history of communication from board staff with the institution. I give you a copy of the complaints, the response by the institution. I left with you three programs that the school is currently offering as continuing ed or advanced training. These are listed on their website. The other programs, the PMU, those are no longer up, and that's part of what was in the application prior. So here to answer any of your questions regarding the website, the training, the continuing education, the advanced training is Celine. Is it Celisi? Kichi. You can come up. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, do we have jurisdiction? I know this came up in this, and I just want to make sure that we have jurisdiction. They're not a licensed institution, nor are they in the process of being a licensed institution, because they're not required, because it falls in there.
Would you like executive session?
Well, I'll go with what my other board members think, so, but I would, yes.
I would also.
I don't recall. Do we vote to go into?
Yeah, I make a Glenn Tharp make a motion that we go into executive session in order to obtain legal advice from
you
counsel.
You can all stay here. We go to another room. See, no one has to leave.
You're welcome to take
Fred,
a break.
You know that.
School, buddy.
Do I have a second for the motion to go into
executive
session?
Right there. We're just going to go talk.
All right. All in favor?
Glenn Tharp, aye.
Mike Romano, aye.
Trish Leonard, aye.
Very Okay, we will be back shortly.